You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know what?
Of course we are.
Let me tell the world something. You know what, y'all?
What you gonna tell the world?
I was on the way to the podcast. I don't know why I got real New York. All of a sudden, y'all know I'm from Atlanta.
Come through.
I was on my way here.
Uh-huh.
And my Uber got... It hit another Uber.
Ooh.
And my light flashed before my eyes. And I said, the devil almost had me, y'all. Ooh. But when I was in my second Uber, when I was in my next ride, when I was rolling through the streets...
With that new whip?
With my woes.
Yes.
God put in my spirit some hot bars. He gave me a fresh 16.
You gonna drop it?
I'm gonna drop it.
All right now.
Spit that on these hoes.
Yes. Drop it on the hoes.
I need to give myself a beat. Here we go. Princess Amber.
Hey.
It's called A Great White Way.
Hey. Oh.
But we ain't come to play.
Hey.
We black as hell and we know it.
Hey.
And we ain't afraid to show it.
Hey.
We tired of the lies and the tricks and the games.
Oh.
We leaving our marks.
Oh.
Remember our names. Danye, Jonathan, and Princess Amber.
What?
We got you shook.
What?
And now it's time for an episode of Off Book.
Break it down now. The straight up fire.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to the Quiet Storm.
That was lit.
That was real lit.
Thank you.
Come through.
Actually, I was like, you're welcome.
That should be the theme song.
Come
through.
That should be the theme song.
Come through.
Yeah.
Just pay me the coin.
Yeah.
Just pay me. I will get somebody to put some hot, sexy beats on that hoe. So here we are. We are ready to go. Oh, fuck. We have hit our marks. Welcome to the podcast sponsored by Broadway Black.
Yes.
You are going off book today, folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is our last week where the light-skinned cat is away so the cute other mice can play. Andrew Shade is in Chicago or Mozambique or wherever the hell he is.
Come on, Mozambique.
Holding it down.
Y'all know we can't take her nowhere. Y'all already know that.
Guys, this week it is your faves, Danye and Princess Amber Iman, I should say. And we have a special guest.
The one and the only.
We will let him introduce himself.
Ooh.
Sir, state your name.
My name is Jonathan McCory. And I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. Like,
so
this is it.
This is it.
Do y'all know who we have here with us? They don't.
If you don't know, you will know.
Because he about to tell somebody. Come on.
Give the people
Let them know who
down.
You be.
Tell them who you are.
So, I am the artistic director of Dr. Barbara and Tears National Black Theater.
Yes.
I'm also a producer, part of Harlem 9, and I'm also one of the founding leaders of the Movement Theater Company.
First of all, you can't throw out them many sexy-ass, hot-ass
Okay.
names and not give the people an explanation. Start with...
Come on.
Who,
break
the,
it down.
The sexy 9, the 999.
Break them
what
down.
What was that? The 911s?
The Harlem 9s.
Tell us about
the 911s.
What's the Harlem 999s? What?
So Harlem 9 is a group of black producers coming together trying to figure out how to do resource sharing. How do we actually build family and community together without the crabs in a barrel mentality?
Mm.
So what does it look like to actually create a systemic kind of space for the ecology of us to actually show up?
First of all, you had me at 9 Mm-hmm. Black producers, mm-hmm. like black producers coming together.
Praise the Lord. Uh-huh.
But let me share my stuff so I can let you share the excellence.
So inside of that, we've been doing it for roughly about 7 years, and we have a festival that we do called 48 Hours in Harlem, which is coming up next.
Oh, I love
next week. Yeah, next week, where we basically bring 30 black artists together to converge at what we've been Harlem, but National Black Theater in particular.
Got it.
And they reimagine 6 black classics.
Oh.
We have 6 playwrights, 6 directors, 18 actors coming together for 48 hours to reimagine our canon. And what does it look like in a 21st century zeitgeist? And then how do you actually build family off of that? The actors are off book. They get like light cues, they get sound cues, some set and props, and then it's for a live audience. So 2 live audience presentations of it, and then it's done. So it's like this little micro opportunity to build family and community. And it's really kind of special and unique and profound, and I've been really excited and humbled. We've had numerous amount of artists. Mm-hmm. One of them is
I did that thing last year.
And how was it, Diane?
It was the most rewarding things I've ever been through. Uh-huh. But then it also was one of the most challenging.
I believe it. That sounds like
literally.
That sounds like it'll try you.
48 hours.
Jesus.
Right?
So now, do you go home and sleep? Do they got cots?
No. So you do go home. You don't sleep.
Okay.
Because you're up all night as the writer writing.
Rewriting. Okay.
And literally, when it's for me, and I talked to some other writers who did it before, and luckily I wasn't the only one that was in this boat because I felt shitty.
Okay.
Because about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I don't think I can do this.
Oh, praise God.
Am I going to be the one playwright that drops out? Because I don't think I can do this anymore.
Wait, okay, so tell me, how do y'all choose which classics are reimagined?
So it's based off a theme.
Talk about it.
So it's been, okay. So at first, when we first did it, it was basically like the iconic. So we did Raising the Sun.
Got
we
it.
Did, and
August.
Then as, mm-hmm. then as mm-hmm. we moved on, we started theming it. So we did James Baldwin and Sonia Sanchez moment. And then we also did, this one will be Black Fables, African Fables. Mm-hmm. I'm really focusing on Anansi. So we're going to give all 6 of the playwrights Anansi fables and reimagining them.
Oh, yes.
And we thought it would be really fantastic to like look at it in this day and age.
Oh, that's amazing.
Does any one of those 18 actors have strep throat?
She like,
can
how can I
track strep throat
get
in
where I fit in?
Well, you know, what's actually really profound is that as we get closer to it, because the universe only wants who the universe wants to actually go on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is that we lose people magically. Like, it's profoundly
like lucky charms.
It is like lucky charms, but then what ultimately happens is divine. Mm. Like, divine comes into play.
Okay.
Like, the people who are supposed to be in the room come into the room,
and then
something magical happens.
I love this.
And it's a very sacred, I do have to say, it's why I invest in it every single year. Mm-hmm. It is because we as black people, we as black artists just need a space just to imagine and also bring with us our legacy.
Yes. I love this.
What does it mean to imagine something new, but also bring your legacy? So let's look at the canon that has brought us to where we are, but then let's also say we can remix it, we can shift it, we can change it, we can also allow for us to like not think of ourselves like, and we also can think in nuanced ways in a short amount of time.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's been one of the most greatest gifts of the show. Of the festival, 48 Hours in Harlem, is that it's been able to do that, and then we've grown it. So we've done it in Harlem, and we do it in the Bronx. We've done it for the past 2 years in the Bronx. So like, there's just been this kind of this building of this momentum around building family and building family in these micro ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool and exciting. And like, they get a shirt and then they wear the shirt and the other people are like, oh, you want 40 hours in Harlem? Oh, you want 40 hours in Harlem? So it's kind of like, it builds this kind of like this fraternity sorority that's not like gender binary. It's just like everyone just kind of like sits inside of the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, if in the next 7 days,
you know what?
We got you.
Someone,
you know what?
Catch Zika.
We do have to get a woman to do it.
Ha, shut up.
Yeah.
Look at God.
A woman has to drop out.
So if God, I'm just in the atmosphere, just in case.
Yes.
Just in case there is a woman who, for some reason, there's a cough in her spirit. Ha, shut up. I will be on the list. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Everybody. But, ha, shut up.
Mind you, he broke down this amazing black excellence in storytelling. What is the first thing she says after you're done? That is the first thing that comes out of her mouth.
Put me on.
Put me in car.
I literally cannot.
I'm ready.
God said we have not because we asked not.
Hey.
On a Sunday.
All right now.
All right.
All right now. So we're on to something.
There's the Harlem Nine. And then you mentioned another organization.
Yes. So the Movement Theater Company. Uh-huh. So the Movement Theater Company is a company that I helped to found with a collection of other black artists from NYU. I've been on a search to find home. That's some of the reason why I invested in National Black Theater the way that I have.
Yeah.
When I was in NYU, I was looking for spaces that looked like me, sounded like me, felt like me, that really would allow for a contemporary black man of my size, stature, my brilliance to actually have a home. And I couldn't find it.
Okay.
There wasn't that vibration there. So then a group of us came together and we said, let's just feed ourselves instead of looking for the scraps or looking for the crumbs. And that's where the movement birthed out of. And it's been a really exciting journey. It's like 11-year-old organization. I'm no longer on the leadership team of it, but Eric Lockley, David Menizabal, Deidre Harrington, and Taylor Reynolds, they all run it now, and they are taking the torch and moving it forward.
That's amazing.
Y'all do some fantastic work.
Thank you.
Necessary work.
Every time I see you, I never see you like eating a sandwich or like clipping your toenails. Like whenever I see you, I have to wait.
Clipping your toenails.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you know.
I'm just saying.
Come on.
He is never relaxed. Whenever I see you, it's like 17 people and I'm like, I need to pee, but I also want to say hi to Jonathan.
Thank you. Usually
I just have to wait and be patient because you're surrounded by people because you're always working and people always want to be near you.
And then also always working and the spirit is so warm and so gentle and so
inviting.
Soft. Exactly.
You exactly. should just, you know, I'm going to pat you on your back for that. Because, sir, you are.
That's not always the case. So, thank you.
You are somebody in the city, in the industry, who we all have our eyes on. I always know you working and moving and shaking. And I appreciate that about you, brother. Thank you for being like a light in our community in real life. Because not everybody has that. It's a lot of people who work, but it's a darkness. You know, it's like,
oh, child.
I don't want to work with them.
Yes.
I don't want to be over there. Because that ain't good what's happening. But every time I'm around you, I'm like, I don't even know what he be doing, but he be doing it.
Because he does so much.
Yes.
So much. But it's one thing to do so much and it's all shit.
Right, Jesus.
That's a very real thing.
You're telling the truth.
But to be able to do a lot and for it to be of excellence and for you to be able to have a spirit to you that is welcoming and that is inviting.
Yes.
We thank you for that.
That's why, you know, I really don't want to wish the spirit of Zika or Ebola on any of those women. But however, if God would see fit, I will be there for all 48 of those hours.
Yes. Come through.
Jonathan, yes,
come
we are here
come
to
through.
Celebrate.
Hey.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yes. Yes. Y'all just giving me life right now. I mean, it is really powerful. I mean, I am feeling the vibration
come
of
on, family.
I'm feeling rooted
come
in
on,
my
family.
Spirit, in
yes,
my joy. Black joy is present.
It's
Black
present.
Joy is so present
and
right
I
now.
Everyone y'all out there, go to Google right now. Look up Harlem Nine. Look up Movement Theater Company because we need to be attached and supporting organizations in our community that are lifting us up.
And National Black Theater.
Yes, all of it. Just look up everything that he just said. Google it all. Okay?
Google
be informed.
Him.
Google him.
Come through. Google me, baby.
Google me, bitch. Google me.
When you get to that level, Google me. Fuck what you heard.
Who
Google
are you?
Me.
Who am I? Google me.
But mind you, Jonathan would never say that to you.
Oh, he wouldn't.
Because he's so pleasant.
But that's why he needed
so that's why we say it for Google me, bitch.
Google me.
That should be the name of the episode.
Google
me,
bitch.
We got it. Drew, you heard us. Google me, bitch.
The title of this episode shall be Google me, bitch. And spell it out, damn it.
Boom.
And with that, I think we should move to hot topics.
Wait, we didn't even talk about our wish yet.
I'm
felt it in my spirit. My shine, though. Felt it.
Hey.
Okay, so we'll back up a little bit.
Let's do a little rewind.
Tanya, tell me about your week.
Ooh.
What you did?
This week started off, we were all together.
Oh,
the
we
top
were?
Of the week.
Yes.
To Larry Powell's Mother's Milk.
Shout out to Larry Powell.
Which was so amazing and powerful. And just like the overall, I kept thinking about it and talking about it afterward, like the structure of how he crafted that piece. And being able to see like all of these black men and black women be one, which that was already a statement within itself.
Yes.
And it was so powerful. So we were all together at a signature seeing the brilliant work from Larry Powell mm-hmm. that has so many wonderful, amazing, yeah. talented black actors and actresses. You are one of them. You are up in there.
It's just my little
get
face.
In your life.
Thanks,
singing that
okay.
song.
Thank you, boys.
Come through.
But and let's tell the people. Like, so Larry mm-hmm. Powell constructed what he called a film quilt.
Oh,
so
yeah.
he wrote a play, right?
Mm-hmm. Created a term.
I was...
the play Titty Boy.
The play was called Titty Boy. Mm-hmm. I did a reading of Titty Boy probably 3 or 4 years ago. So mm-hmm. that just tells you how long, and I wasn't even in the first iteration of it. Like, this is probably 5 or 6 years in the wow. making.
We're talking about cultivation wow. now.
Cultivation wow. and not giving up and persevering.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he got to the point where the play was finished and he sent the play out to friends and loved ones and told people, read it, find a passage that you love, identify with, and shoot it. So imagine you have your baby, you send it out into the world and people say, oh, I want this passage. Yeah. Oh, I want this passage. So you have, let's say you have only 6 characters. So now you have 20 different people shooting it. So you mm-hmm. have you have 6 times 20. You got 120 characters. You have one character
on,
played by, she did
through.
Get a 1440 on the
come
SAT.
Through.
Hey.
You're
come
welcome.
Through, man.
You're welcome. So now you have one character that's being played by 20 different men or 20 mm-hmm. different women. And you have 20 different points of view and 20 different eyes on it. And all these different DPs and actors and directors coming together to shoot your baby from their mm-hmm. point of view. And so he put it all together and edited it together. And it's just, it was magical. I've never seen anything done like that before.
Not at all.
And it was so moving.
And it was like, I left feeling full of the blackness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And like all of our nuances, all mm-hmm. of our complexities, all of our joy, all of our pain, all of our trauma, all of our love wrapped up through these multiple individuals, but all being one person at the same time, which
it was
I thought
really
was
cool.
absolutely beautiful. Yeah, so that was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't do as much writing this week, which was necessary.
What happened? You okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's why I didn't do as
praise
much
God,
writing this week. I got to just like really focus on Danye outside of what other people want Danye to do and the stories
that
they want Danye to tell. So I ended up on, and I think you actually spoke. You're like, what are you about to say? I think it was a few weeks ago. You might have worked with some of the participants for the Black Arts Intensive.
Yes, I did.
I did a master class. That looked like the best
Friday,
thing ever.
Playwright master class, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's
like
amazing.
It was, and Friday was the last day,
culminating. Yep,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I was there. I was the last workshop that they had, and I felt so honored and so privileged, and I could feel the love, right? Like it was so palpable because they were there for 5 weeks, and they had their instructors were Michelle Shea,
Sonia Sanchez,
Ruben Santiago Hudson.
So many like forces within our theater community were working with them, and again, so I was there for the very last day, taught the very last class, and I felt the culminating of that 5 weeks and the joy and the love. It was so, I felt honored and privileged, like just to be there with them, let alone like teach them. So that was my Friday. I saw the play this week. What did I saw? Straight White Men.
Okay.
Tell me about that, because that title made me say,
like,
I want to run
it.
Hold up.
Was
direction.
It given?
Yes.
And I also wanted to know, what was it given? Mm-hmm. So I had to see, to receive. And I was pleasantly surprised and moved. So we had a family of four, all straight white men, three brothers, a father. It took place around Christmas in the basement, which was like a mini apartment because wealthy straight white men.
Go away.
That's what it was given.
Go away.
And so we just like watched them navigate their privilege and unpack it and talk about it. And it was so interesting because I was pretty much, as it always is with us, one of the only black people in the entire theater.
Okay.
And so it was so interesting, like, to hear the reactions and moments when the audience would laugh. And I'm like, oh, that shit actually is not funny.
Yeah.
Right? And then the moments that I thought were hilarious, I was the only one laughing. And so it was just really interesting to, like, navigate that space, which I thought was really cool. But, like, overall, it was dope. And, like, I said, okay, I'm going to be in for a ride. Hmm. The house music was all, like, Biggie and Tupac. And like literally like went in and it was so fun and it was so interesting because I think this is for every show, the curtain speech at the top Is I think they're both gender non-binary, mm-hmm. and they both come out and they talk, and they just talk about like what you're about to witness, what you're about to see. And they also said, if you felt uncomfortable with the house music, then good. Because what? Oftentimes you come into these spaces and you feel absolutely comfortable.
Well, I like
so
this.
Now know you're going to be in for a ride that's going to make you uncomfortable.
I like this.
So that was really interesting.
Maybe
so,
I'll go see that.
Come, I definitely would recommend it. And the playwright, young Jean Lee, she always writes pieces that's super subversive and just like really
true.
Like combats a lot of the bullshit that's out there in the world today.
Okay.
So yeah, so that was that. And I think that was my week. Oh, and I just want to throw out really quickly,
tell
y'all.
Me.
So on my way here, I was walking down Christopher Street, mm-hmm. and I literally was struck by
a poster
from MCC outside the theater. And so their upcoming season, there will be three black playwrights. Mm. All of the playwrights are film. And that just literally took me aback because mm-hmm. I never saw one of these like white theaters produce work.
Chocolate faces.
Exactly. So many and like all having like feminine energy was absolutely amazing. It was Loy Webb, Jocelyn
Bio,
and
Aziza?
I believe, yeah, Aziza Barnes. So that was absolutely amazing. Like that just really lifted me like, okay, the work is happening. Mm-hmm. It's still more work to do.
But we've come a long
but
way.
But yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
That was my week.
That's a good week.
It's a good week.
It's a good week.
It was a light week.
Yeah, light week. Light.
Oh, and
but
also the cast was announced for Firefly. Us. And so this is a two-hander. We have Chris Davis, who is a beast. He's currently in Atlanta on FX. He was in Lynn Nottage's Sweat on Broadway. We have DeWanda Wise from She's Gotta Have It.
You know, I went to school with DeWanda.
Come through.
Gorgeous.
She is gorgeous
and
beautiful,
talented, and they are going
spirit.
To light the stage up
I'm
together.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Because I remember when you was in auditions, she was like, oh, God. And look at you now, you're on the other side.
Come on, other side. Like,
beautiful,
woo,
beautiful, beautiful,
like,
people.
Yes, beautiful.
And when does that open? Let the people know.
We preview start September 26th,
okay.
and we open October 15th, and we go until the middle of November.
Work
so we got
out.
Us a nice run.
Work it out.
So that was my week. I had a good week.
That's a good week.
Jonathan,
how was your week,
So, Mother's Milk.
Yes.
And one thing I just want to add about Mother's Milk, which was I think a lot of people should know, is about the determination to completion and how like many things like roadblocks happen.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
But Larry was very clear about how I wanted to stay committed to it. Mm-hmm. So it was just a profound thing to see his commitment yield such a beautiful final product.
Yes.
So that was beautiful. And then the family that was there, that was just beautiful just to sit around and just to kind of.
It was
of
a family
like,
reunion.
It was a family reunion.
It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful family reunion. So then, what else? I went out to Jack in Brooklyn to see a play.
Okay.
That was, I enjoyed that. That was good. That
awesome.
Was good. It was
awesome.
Dealing with sexual abuse and drug abuse.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the play, so I feel
it's
bad.
Fine.
But
that's
all. Show
it.
It
be like that.
Yeah. It be like that.
It literally
like that.
Does be like that.
It be like that.
Y'all can Google that too. When y'all Googling Jonathan, Google a Jack,
Jack
and
Jack.
See what he went
he
to see.
Went to go see.
Boom. We don't know.
Come on now.
We solved that one.
Aaron Cherry's in it. You know. Aaron Cherry's in it. So you go there.
Okay.
Come on, Blackness.
I went to 12th Night.
How was that?
I have to say this. I completely enjoyed the space that the public created as far as like allowing for this amalgam of our communities to show
also,
up.
Also, Google amalgam. Keep talking.
from the differently abled to like the different economic positioning to like people who are not novice to this profession to people who are professional in this profession. Allowing for that all to show up and allowing everyone to have a space. I thought that was really cool and awesome. Like,
awesome.
I really, really thought that was really a profound gift.
Love.
And it felt like for the first time, not the first time, but like the Delacorte felt like it was our theater. It wasn't a hierarchy nosed up type of space. It was space for us.
Okay.
So I was really excited to see that.
Love it.
It was a really profound thing to see. So I saw that.
Come through. And I just have to say really quickly, I started laughing because I was like, what shady shit he about to say? Literally because you asked, tell me how was it? And you start off with, well, I have to say this. I'm like, oh, it's about to get real. We about to hear some tea. Because normally, you know, when you start off like that,
both did
it's about
thing.
To go
we
down.
Were...
I'm like, oh, what Jonathan about to say?
Chris?
Bleep that. We just talking about rainbows and unicorns and warm spirits from him. He's about to set it all.
Go in.
No, but I like
but there you go.
I like that.
That was good. That was good. Come through.
You put a bow on it.
I know how to put a bow on it.
Come through now.
I know my audience.
He said, that's all I'm going to say about
it. I know my audience.
Praise God.
Yes, now. So, moving right along.
Moving right along. And then I went to go see a film. Okay. I saw Black Klansman.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Just tell us a couple things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that sigh was just all.
I gotta see it.
It's a problematic. It's beautifully problematic.
Okay, good.
It is beautifully showing us our pain and our problems. Love. And where I think for me, I feel like Spike has been going to a beautiful space of looking at Black super realism.
Okay.
And looking and playing with mystic kind of notions of Blackness, mm-hmm. of where it can show up in real life.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like
that.
In this piece, mm-hmm. he's like woven all of that tapestry kind of mm-hmm. beautifully. But then he's also married it with what I feel like is his primary gift, mm-hmm. which is documentary theater.
Okay.
Of like when he takes the real subject and puts it in front of us. Like mm-hmm. if we think about his documentary around Katrina, mm-hmm. That was unforgivably just heart-wrenching and beautiful. Yeah. And epic. And he just knows how to like take real life subjects and mm-hmm. real life subject matter mm-hmm. and weave it in such a way. So like the last 5 minutes of it took me out.
Really?
Okay. Took me out. And then afterwards, it also took me out that a white man put his fist up like Black Power. And I was like...
In the theater that you were at?
Yes.
Wow.
And that took me out as well.
I want to take him out, but okay.
Like that, that took me out as well. Because okay. it was just like I you're trying to tell me that you're a safe space, but that's not safe.
No.
Like it's just it reminds me of random acts of blindness.
Yes.
When I think the gender nonconforming person in the episode mm-hmm. says, even when someone comes up to me and says that you look stunning, I feel objectified. Mm-hmm. Objectification actually is more hurtful mm-hmm. than if you just didn't notice me at all.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And it's just like when he did that, when he put his fist up mm-hmm. as a white man, who I can see as a cis man, mm-hmm. put his fist up, mm-hmm. I was just like,
what you doing?
What are you doing?
The most.
Do you see what we just saw?
Mm-hmm. No.
Do you see the history that we just saw? Do you see also how Spike put like what's currently happening in the streets in front of us?
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to put your fist up in this theater?
Missed the whole movie.
Yep. And then I was just, and then he kept it up.
And that's the thing that's so infuriating. Like, are we watching two different things?
Uh-huh.
Obviously we are.
Come on now. Yeah.
Right?
Come on now.
Because of our different lived experiences and you think it's perfectly fine for you. And you think you're being an ally.
Come on now.
But you're actually being someone who is endangering mm-hmm. and harming and mm-hmm. being more problematic than the ones who are so overtly uh-huh. racist.
Tell the truth.
But yeah.
So that was my week.
That was a week.
Okay.
We had a light week and a week.
How
was your week?
How was your week?
Come on now. We need to know what your week, queen.
Let me tell y'all.
Because your week culminated.
Let me tell y'all how my week culminated.
Yes,
so,
please.
Mm-hmm. I was pretty chill. You know, I saw something, but I'm not going to talk about it because I looked in my bag of tricks and I realized I could not find a pretty bow to put on it, so I'd rather just not mention it.
Why you do that to me?
You know what?
Because now I want to know.
When we turn this microphone off, I'll tell you about it.
Boom.
But you know
what? Sorry, y'all.
Sometimes, instead of being petty McPetty, I'm just going to keep my damn mouth shut.
All right.
So, moving on.
But I just have to say, I love mm-hmm. that you had to say that because that was... in the universe and it's in the atmosphere, right? So people are going to be like, bubbling with uh-huh. what's this energy giving? What's going on?
And what I did in my mind is I said, did you post a flyer?
Yeah, see, there you go. There you go.
Didn't do a damn thing, uh-huh. so I'm not.
Okay. I can't.
So here is what happened. I have a moment of beauty and also microaggression.
Mm.
So this week, the Michener Art Museum, which is in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. they have a Broadway cabaret series mm-hmm. and they invite 3 Broadway performers out to do whatever they want, your cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, or this series, it was June, July, and August, was Norm Lewis, Shoshana Bean, and me. So they invited me out there. Yes. I mean, yes. you know, yes. Sent a car to my home.
Yes.
Drove me the 2 hours, put me up in the hotel, you know, feeding me, Ubering me around. Yeah. I'm a star.
Wait,
she's a star.
They picked you up in a car and drove you all the way to Doylestown.
From Inwood.
Yes.
So okay. There was no bus. There was no train. No. It was very much your own car
when
service.
When I came out the door, that white man opened my door and I said, hello, she's here.
Come through.
She's here.
So you ain't tell me that part.
Okay.
Come through.
I gagged myself. I said, this is amazing. So I get there and I mean.
Did you document the entire?
I did.
Good.
So this is one of those like where white people, somebody described it as, you know, when white people, they probably used to live in New York and then they got tired of seeing us, so they moved to Pennsylvania, but they have the money to bring us to Pennsylvania to entertainment.
Lord have mercy.
Which is fine. I will collect your coin, white people, and I will put it into my savings account. So I get there. They are the most warm, wonderful people. They warned me beforehand that this audience is rich, white, and old. And I appreciated that because
that
they were
the
like,
warning.
We want to let you know what you're about to step into. Mm-hmm. They made sure to say this is not our normal audience. These tickets were $125.
Oh, golly.
I was like, I should refund y'all because y'all paid a lot of money to see my ass. Praise God. But these people are rich, white, and old, and they will probably be silent, and they probably will not
give you
respond.
Anything.
They will not
and
respond.
So I had two of my black friends that I got comfortable.
Yes.
There
I
we
said,
go.
Come on through, sit in the front.
That's
laugh.
How you
I
do it. Yes.
And the funny thing is, they were actually way more responsive than I expected.
Really?
And there were some sprinklings of chocolate and
great,
cinnamon and caramel.
Great.
It actually, I've done my one-woman show three times. This was my favorite.
Really?
I think because I came in knowing that they were all strangers and I didn't give a fuck. So I was immediately released from nerves and stress. I was like, I don't have anything to prove to these people. The check is clearing as we speak. So I don't even care. And when somebody tells me, oh, they're not going to be with you, they're not going to respond, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to do my show and see what happens. And they were clapping and laughing and Instagram. Like, it was beautiful.
Yay.
You know, after they have like a VIP thing where you have to go out and all the VIP people get a glass of champagne and get to stand on the step and repeat and talk to you and take a picture. And I mean, the people just were pouring love and gratitude and, oh my God, you know, the other cabarets was just singing, but you told your story and you were
so
vulnerable
beautiful.
And honest. I mean, people were just so loving.
That's so
Congratulations.
So,
congrats
thank
to you.
So that was the
That's
joy.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Now let's talk about the fuckery.
Ooh,
I woke up the next morning, you know, I spent the night, you know, had a bubble bath.
Yes,
you know, a gentleman drove me back to my apartment in Inwood.
Yes.
And I'm refreshed, revived, and renewed. And I check my email.
Oh.
Lord of mercy.
Oh.
And Catherine, who's 71 years old, a white woman.
Oh.
Who
of course.
Saw my show.
Uh-huh.
Send an email.
I'm already wore out.
I mean.
And I'm not even gonna read the whole email. I'm gonna read one line. The one line
Am
says.
Am I ready?
In
Am
your
I
next
ready?
Performance,
oh no!
I hope that you talk less
oh.
and sing more.
They wear me out.
How did she get your email?
A white woman
oh,
in
my
2018
gosh.
Told me, shut up and sing,
oh,
bitch.
No.
The audacity.
She literally
oh,
told
my
me,
God.
Don't talk, just sing. Because that's what we came for. We came for the black girl to stand up here and give us a good old jazz standard and a, you know, a Broadway classic. Hum a little tune.
And that's what y'all do, right? Y'all just entertain us. Y'all don't have any life. Y'all don't have anything to offer us, to give us.
Donye,
no
just
nuance,
entertain.
No life.
You don't have that as a black person.
You know, it just, and it, I don't know if y'all have seen that meme of the cat that's typing and they're just sitting at the typer. That was me typing and responding y'all to that bitch. And I read her down for the filth and the
as
blood of the Lord.
Have.
Yes, I did.
As you should
but
have.
I educated her. And, you know, I did it in a very adult way. I didn't throw out no words that I wanted to use, but it was just.
The thing is, you didn't even have to do that.
Yeah,
no.
Yes.
So you gave her a luxury.
I really
very
did.
Much.
Because she went to my website and I have like, if you want to contact me for like.
The most.
Right.
The so absolute most.
She was searching.
Amber-Iman.com,
and she was searching for
and
that.
And she, honey, her, one of her grandbabies brought her an iPad.
Wow.
And she got on that shit and she wrote that, honey.
I cannot.
And it just like.
It's irksome.
It hit me in the gut and I was like, because my show, it's not a concert. Mm-hmm. It's my one woman show. Like I talk about my last relationship that ended when my boyfriend cheated on me.
Yeah.
I talk about a situation I was in a workshop where a white stage manager put his hands in my hair and said my hair was looking wild and asked if I needed a brush and how that moved me into losing out on two jobs because the director of that workshop was going around telling other directors that I was a problem and I couldn't be trusted. Like I'm telling like my story. And she was like, I just want you to know, you know, you can sing well and you're stylish. She told me I was stylish. She told me I dress well.
What?
I sing well. I was beautiful. But she would just appreciate it if when I'm doing my show that I don't do all that talking.
What?
That you don't share your truth, that you don't share yourself, that you don't be you.
Just sing.
Did you get a response? Even though I really don't care.
No.
I'm just curious.
Oh, no. Oh, no. She had nothing more to say.
Of course not.
But just know in 2018.
No, that's the
That's what's happening.
That's the real this.
That's honestly what's really happening.
That's the real.
You know, I'm out there and I'm living my, I'm like, oh, they're paying me to do me and be me and breathe me. And I'm just, oh, I'm, and that's what you wake up to.
Yeah.
But I thanked her and I said, thank you for that letter, man, because it's written proof that there's more work to be done.
There's a lot more work to be done.
Like, I'm thinking, oh, look, you know, I've made it so far and look what I'm doing and I'm blazing a trail. And that's what you get met with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The dichotomy. That's the ebb and flow, the yin and the yang.
That literally is it.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting on my couch reading it. And, like, I can't deny that, it, like, that shit hurt.
Yeah.
It, like, that shit hit me in my
gut.
And I was like, wow. But I chose to say, you know what? Thank you. And I'm going to press forward. I'm not going to allow you. I ended it. I said, you have no power here, Catherine. I will not allow your words to distract
you
me.
You shouldn't.
From my purpose.
You shouldn't.
Thank you, girl.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Shouldn't. And like those are reminders for me. Like every time I get those sort of emails or like people who are bold enough to be like face to face and share the bullshit, it's just a reminder that what I create is not for you.
Not at all.
At all. You actually, this is no shit. You need to consider it a privilege and an honor
to
be able to see and to not even understand, but to get a glimpse into the stories that I create.
Yep.
Because
yep.
they're for Black people.
Yes, ma'am.
They're about Black people.
Yes, ma'am.
And you, again, are very lucky and very privileged to even witness that.
And thank
so Catherine Oldass was privileged.
Yes, she was.
To see your work,
she was.
Your story,
and
your
thank
glory.
You for that $125 in tickets, bitch.
Hey.
Come through.
Because it's in the bank.
Hey.
Boom. And with that, we gonna move on to Hot Topic.
All right now. We made it.
We made it
through another week. We made
all
it through
right
another
now.
Week.
My God.
All the celestial moons all doing.
Yes.
Yes, God.
Come on
the
now.
The Mercury and the retrograde.
Come on now. Communication was on a weird space.
My God.
Lord of mercy.
So we don't have much in the topic, in the hot topic department. Mm-hmm. However.
But I think we got some fuckery.
We have some nonsense, actually. Some shenanigans. Y'all, we have two names.
Talk about it.
Two names that I thought I might not ever see.
Oh. Together. But they are.
On the playbills and the Broadways.
Lord have mercy.
Those would be the names.
Can you break it down for the kids?
Young Deacon Snoop Dogg.
Child.
And First Lady Tamar Braxton.
What are they doing?
Casting News says Snoop Dogg and Tamar Braxton will star in a new musical called Redemption of a D-O-double-G.
Oh, are you?
What?
This musical will chronicle the life of a rapper who has to choose between fame and fortune over family and the love of his life.
Wow.
The first show will be in Houston, Texas before it heads out on tour across the United States. Let's give it up for Deacon Dogg and First Lady Braxton.
Yes.
If I never hear no bullshit.
I mean...
We are not making it up. You are not being pranked. It is not April 1st.
This is real life.
This is hot off the motherfucking press.
But I just must add.
Yes.
This very well could be somebody's life story.
Listen.
It could be.
Listen.
It could be nothing but truth.
And nuance in a dog pound.
I woke up. I said, is there sleep in my eye, Lord? Is that young Snoop? And Sister Braxton.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it is, everyone.
On tour. Starting in Houston.
And
making its way around.
Got Broadway dreams.
Broadway.
That was the first thing I thought about was...
If Playbill is announcing it,
Broadway dreams. They're Broadway dreams. It's not just for Chillin' Circuit.
Y'all. Thoughts, gentlemen? What are your thoughts? What you think? What you feeling? What you think is
going
to
be? The first thing I thought was Chitlin Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I thought was, wait, I thought we said we were retiring that and giving it a new name.
Yes,
I was
like, Urban Seasons. Was it
Urban
Seasons?
Urban Lowry Season Salt?
Shut up!
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Oh, that's a new name.
Urban something with seasoning.
So that was the first thought. And then the other thought was, oh, this is like Set It Off. The stage play.
Mm.
It might give that.
It might. But I can't imagine Snoop in it.
Like, I can't.
How can we lock Snoop down for a world tour in like a play?
No, mm-mm.
Like, I mean, if his blunt's being passed around, Snoop gonna be in it.
Exactly. Is that equity sanction?
Snoop gonna find a way. They gonna pass out blunts to everybody who walks through.
Come on now. They'll be on a new journey.
Y'all, I have never.
They'll be taken to a new place.
I literally cannot. I cannot.
Okay, so then.
But can he sing? Like the lines, the like.
It might be that. That mic might be auto-tuned. Do you know what I mean? Like, it might
no,
be.
No, very that.
It probably
very
is.
Very that.
Bury that. And, I mean, he got an album of like gospel songs, don't he?
I think
no,
so.
No, he does.
Yes, Snoop Lion.
He does have right. one. He does have one.
And I'm not even gonna lie, y'all. I would go and see it.
You know what? I would roll me a joint. I don't even smoke, but I would.
Tamar might be able to give it.
Now you know she gonna be. You know
she gonna be so
be.
Much.
She gonna do the so most.
Much, so much.
Yo. Oh my gosh.
Between the gowns and the wigs.
Come
and the
on
thrones.
Now. Come on now.
We gonna see it. Y'all know we gonna go see it. If it come anywhere near New York City, we just gonna have to go.
This is actually gonna be a concert, not a musical.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna concert. Be at a concert.
If they're smart about it, it will Listen. Be a concert. If they're smart about it.
Okay, so this next
So we'll find out.
Yes, we will find out, y'all.
Soon and very soon.
Keep your eyes peeled, Houston. Keep your eyes peeled. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Houston listeners, let us know how that is.
Okay?
And so how high
can,
you
so
got.
So we can anticipate it. All right.
The contact. Okay. And the personal stats.
And let us know if you see a breakdown on Playbill so we can audition. You know, boom. I just want to be in the room.
That part. We may talk that talk, but.
It's Snoop and Tamar, it's a coin.
Boom.
Come on, coin.
It's a coin.
Coin.
Okay?
Coin.
So this next hot topic is something that I saw
what is given?
On the white people threads
oh,
of
white
Instagram.
People thread. White people thread.
So, and I want to know what you guys think about. This is a new situation that I was unaware of
oh.
that's in like the Broadway community.
So what?
There's a young lady who is in a show, currently in a show on Broadway.
Okay.
Her name, she
should not be named. Shall not be named.
So she has decided, which I fully support,
okay.
not to do stage doors because of social anxiety. Completely
understood. Okay.
Understood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have been in situations where I'm like, can't do it, don't want do it, don't need to. This show is weird. I just need to get home and go
yes,
to sleep.
Yes. Mm-hmm,
you know, Audrey McDonald said, I tuck my children in their beds on school nights, so I don't do it on school nights. Yeah. You catch me on a Saturday or a Sunday.
There you go.
I support it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So apparently, there's this app called Cameo. And what several Broadway actors are doing mm-hmm. right now is in lieu of me going to the stage door, we have what's called a virtual stage door, which is where I will charge you $20 as a charitable donation. It will go to Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS,
mm-hmm.
and I will make you a personal video.
Wow.
That I will send to you in lieu of you meeting me at the stage door. This
wow.
particular actress has decided to charge $40 non-charitable.
Whoa.
It's going in her pocketbooks. And so now, instead of doing the stage door, she stays at home and you send me 40 whole dollars.
Wow.
And I will be like, hey girl, oh my God, thank you so much for coming to the show tonight. Oh my God, I hope you enjoyed it. Your support means so much to And she got $40. And she can order some cute sushi. Because that's what the white girls were like. Hope you enjoy ordering your expensive ass sushi with my $40. The white girls were going in on her feet. Because I just went to look at what the commentary was. So she made a post.
When whiteness attack whiteness.
Listen,
I know.
That's
white on white, white on white. White on white crime.
White on white crime.
So she made a post saying, you know what it is? It's because I'm a woman. And because I know my worth
what?
As a woman, you all are attacking me because I've placed a monetary figure on my time. I love
Lies
making these
and
videos. And I take time and I take pride. And the product is this and that. And the little white girls was like, no, Keisha, we're mad.
I'm mad that her name is Keisha.
No, Keisha, but all names.
Not
I,
Becky.
I know.
Not Susan.
I know. They said, not Keisha.
They said, we are mad, not because you're a woman.
Keisha Jenkins. And that.
They said, we mad because we are teenage girls and you are costing us, you're charging us $40 that you are not donating a charity.
Mm-hmm.
That you are pocketing.
Read
and
her
ordering
filth.
Your sushi
pocketing.
Has nothing to do if you were a man, a woman, a cat, a dog. What do you guys think about that? Can you imagine, Diane?
I can't imagine. So I actually am here for when you first started off.
Absolutely.
Right? In
for
terms
it.
Of
I'm here for that. Because people
being
are crazy.
For donations.
Yes.
People are crazy.
Yes.
Right? And you and like you are not owed by anyone
no,
who
no,
comes
no, no.
to see the show.
Because my job
right? because
is
people
between
think that.
Curtain up and
exactly.
curtain
down.
But
yes.
people don't understand that.
At
they
all.
Don't realize
there's
that.
There's an obligation.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Which shouldn't be at all.
At
so
all.
I can definitely understand, yes, if you opt to do this app,
mm-hmm.
right, and have it go to charity, that's cool beans. And even, I'll even throw it out there, even if sometimes you might say, like maybe one or two times you might want to say, I want this to go in my
and
pocket.
You, or you can
right?
split it. 50%
exactly.
of this.
Oh, exactly.
There we go.
That's
there
totally
we go. There we go.
Understandable. But what we said, Keisha Jenkins?
I'm going to call it Keisha Jenkins.
All right,
what
Keisha Jenkins.
Keisha Jenkins is deciding to do is absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Fully indicative of her privilege.
Ha-ha.
And for her not to even understand
yes.
that that's a part of her privilege, thinking
yes.
it's something else that's taking place, that people want to attack you. No, mm-hmm. we're calling you out on the truth.
Yes, we are.
And she calls it discrimination when we do call
oh,
her out
wow.
on it.
Oh, wow.
You see?
That's when it gets even deeper.
That part.
Because I'm a woman.
That part.
I said, bitch,
the delusion.
No.
The delusion in her spirit.
Y'all, that it. I mean, but just to see, like, thousands of teenage white girls like, no, it is not
and,
that.
And see, I didn't even know it was thousands. That lets how delusional she is. If thousands of people are saying
you
this,
should know this,
you need to really check yourself.
Because this is
Keisha, you done wrecked yourself.
Honey, because this is one of those shows that has a following of young kids. You know what I mean? So you can't, you're literally charging teenage girls.
And you're taking it out of their pockets.
First of all, you know they mama saved and scraped every penny to get them on a plane to get to New York.
Because you know that ticket for the Broadway show is...
And you know they came with Kwanda and Quintana and the rest of...
All these names are taking me out.
And you know that hotel room.
Listen.
And you know that restaurant.
You know they had to go to Johnny Rocket.
You know that taxi.
Listen.
You know why they were here.
Okay, and you know they're not staying in Harlem.
And you know...
You know that hotel is in Times Square.
Come on now.
Okay? Boop.
And they are having room service.
Listen.
So
okay?
And they're jumping on that
trifling.
Bed. And they're having some candy while they're at it.
They're jumping on the bed.
Come on now.
Y'all better relive a whole Cold Stone Girl experience.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you know they went out there talking to Dora and Elmo and then Octavia.
Come on now.
The whole nine yards.
Whole nine.
Walking through all the Times Square, loving it, being slow as
and
fuck,
then you wanna take
wearing me out.
And you want to take $40.
That's them.
And it's not a FaceTime, so you can't interact.
No.
It's just a video. And the girl's going to say your name and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, she said my name. And it's a video. And I'm sure it ain't but a minute or two.
If even that. If even that.
10 seconds.
For $40?
Hello.
Nah, honey. You profiting. Honey, you making a coin.
A coin.
Off these kids.
That's so greedy and nasty.
Reevaluate your life.
And deceitful.
It's deceitful.
Well, the last hot topic.
Come on now.
Is an unfortunate one. Y'all remember that article that was rumored to,
I'm nervous.
To come into the New York Times? You know, that article that was going to expose people.
The Me Too moment.
And it got hushed. Yes. Remember, it was going to expose all these names of people.
Yes, I remember now.
So now, I'm sure a hefty, I've heard a rumor that a hefty check was written. Because those names that were about to be exposed, I'm sure that was going to topple Broadway. I'm sure from the root to the toot, it was about to be a situation.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So now, a young man has gone over to BuzzFeed. And the article is called The Broadway Legend, The College Student, and the Harassment That Still Stings Today.
That's a title.
Now.
That's a title.
And it says, Michael. The subtopic is, Michael Martin was thrilled for the chance to work with multiple Tony Award-winning designer William Ivy Long. But as he told BuzzFeed News, he was not ready for the repeated groping and harassment that came with it.
Whoa.
And when I tell you, he goes, I mean, into every detail over years and years and years.
The floodgates. The floodgates are about to open.
And it's like, you know, the New York Times might have been bought, but Huffington Post and BuzzFeed and the rest of them, I feel like slowly but surely we're going to start to see the emergence
coming
of those
out.
Names. Because people are tired.
Damn. Yeah.
People are tired. He talked about how, like, William would be talking to him and a group of people and would be like, everyone listen to how wonderful this work is that Martin did. And while he's like pointing to pictures on the wall or pointing out like things that Martin has designed, he would have his hand in his pants reaching to find things and touching and rubbing on things. Like, so he would do it publicly.
Wow.
Like in front
of people?
He got off on like, how can I do it in front of 40 people and nobody know except
wow.
me? Like, I mean, he goes blow by blow, detail by detail. And it is ridiculous.
I was wondering when the floodgates were going
to
happen.
I feel like we're starting to see cracks in the foundation. Mm-hmm.
Because every other industry has had the floodgates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, why bust wide open?
It was just one of those weird things. I was just like, why is New York, why is Broadway, is like, it's like the pearly gates right now. It was like protected like a prison.
Wow. I just want to know, like, because everyone's like, yes, somebody, apparently there were sponsors were going to pull out from the New York Times.
Really?
If that article.
No, and the New York Times is suffering in a lot of ways. So like, for them to lose any money would have been huge.
Somebody
wrote
a check and that article disappeared into thin air.
Wow.
But I was wondering when it was going to come back out.
Yeah.
There's so many stories.
Oh, God.
And it's unfortunate the amount of stories that there are, but it's also like, I was just like, when are they going to get some validation? When is their voices going to be heard? When are they going to be seen into the light? Because you see it in the regional, it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming out in the regional theater.
Yes.
And they have less coin.
Well,
and then that regional, there's some giants being taken
down.
Out. And
that's,
it's just like, now it's hitting New York. And
yeah.
It will be crazy.
Yes, it will.
To see who stands.
Yeah, because he is the next music, like Tootsie, which is coming in like, February, March, I think, he's the costume designer. Wow. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen.
Wow.
Because that article, I mean, the detail by detail.
Wow.
I kept, I said, good Jesus.
When is it going to end?
Popcorn and tea. Shit.
Jesus.
Wow. That wraps up our very, very, very hot topics for the week.
Wow. Ooh, yeah, that was scorching a little bit.
We got Deacon Dog and First Lady Braxton and good old Right Apostle William Lively.
You know what? You're not going to say that.
Right Reverend Long over here doing wrong.
Come on now. What? Come on now.
So, Danye, Deacon Danye.
Do we got some questions?
Do we have some questions?
We have some questions.
Letters?
Let's get into these.
This is, you know, my favorite part of the show.
Mine
we get
too.
To connect with our audience.
You're so beautiful. Let me,
we get to tap in.
Let me scroll to find.
Tap in, tune in.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go, everyone.
Okay, and from the subject, we might already know what it's hitting for.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
The subject is called hair. It's on your head.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
This is from LJ Brody.
Hey, LJ Brody.
Hey. I just need some words of advice slash comfort.
Okay.
I'm a musical theater slash dance major, and I'm the only actor to have dreads in my department for like 10 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's already hard enough being one of the few black people in my department, predominantly white university in West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got one sister in the senior class, one light skin in the junior class.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate and I are the only brothers in the sophomore class.
Got it.
Class with one light skin sister, and we got two incoming sisters.
Okay.
But I want to be able to keep my hair.
Mm-hmm.
I know it'll limit me because of me being in a predominantly white school. And most of the shows we're doing this season are ranging from the 1920s to 1950s.
Okay.
Wonderful Town and Bright Star.
Got it.
I see people in Hamilton, Michael Kilgore, and Savion Glover doing their thing.
Call them out.
And I just got to know, how do I keep on keeping on? I've been rocking these dreads for 4 years, and I haven't got a haircut in 6.
Okay. Mm.
Like, I'm cool wearing a wig as long as I can keep my hair, because representation is key to further progression in this business.
Okay. Yes, it is.
So,
Danya, have you ever had locks?
I was going to.
Okay.
But the ugly phase wore me out, y'all.
Shut your whole.
And like, I couldn't do it.
Y'all know the phase when, like,
the in between.
Yes,
the in between.
Yes.
And always got to wear cap all the
Look,
time.
Yes. I big chopped. I know what you mean.
And I said, I can't do it, Lord Jesus.
I know.
Chippity chop chop.
I hate you so much.
Chippity chop chop.
Yeah, like, I'm done.
Even though I'm still like, oh, I want dress, but like,
come
that
on
phase.
Yes. Come on now, that
just wear me on out.
And when I look at you, I'm like, oh, he definitely had dreads at some point. I know he had locks. I know he did.
I went on that journey.
Yes, you did.
I went on that journey.
Okay.
I had a mohawk before.
Please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Jonathan, have you
I
had
thought
locks?
I was so fly.
I was very close. I grew my hair out to be a foot long.
Okay.
And I had twists.
Okay.
And the twists were going to lock with my, I don't have enough kink in my hair.
Understood.
And then the beeswax was going to rip my hair out.
Wow.
So then I went to just doing a faux hawk.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then I just started.
And you said, I am not my hair. So I am Andy Arie.
I am not my hair.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, that's honestly the true of it. It was just simple fact that my hair was starting to dictate and try to be my identity, so then I let it go. But to that, listen.
No, I was going to open it up because this is, first of all, school is trash. Like, we all know that school is completely trash.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you cannot look at school like the end all be all because so much of school is foolishness. And I think somebody else a couple weeks ago was asking about certain roles because she was in school and only playing like 85-year-olds.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that's because there are only 12 people in a school.
And it truly is not the industry.
It's really
like,
not.
Like, it tries to model itself after the industry, but it's not.
I remember a girl who changed schools because she was not getting cast. And I was like, and like changed her major. And then I have friends who never got cast in like anything in school and not have Tony Awards and Oscars. Like, school is not a thing.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So I don't honestly believe in you cutting your hair off for a school play that is literally 3 weekends or 2 days.
Yes.
That doesn't matter. But now when you get out in the real world, I honestly cannot give you advice on what to do with your hair. That's your crown.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand representation does matter. You are absolutely right. Will it quote unquote limit you? I feel like that's not a thing. You know what I mean? Like, sure, will you walk into a rehearsal room and a director will think something based on what your hair is? They think something of me because I'm 5'11 and chocolate.
Yes.
Like, those are two things I can do nothing about.
Yes.
When it comes to your locks, that's a conversation you got to have with yourself. Because, yes, there are certain productions that will be like, will you cut your locks? And if they're not going to wig you. They're going to ask you to cut your hair. Mm-hmm. We know those contracts that we sign say Equity is asking you will do whatever we ask you to do to your hair. And I love how it always says we will restore it when the show is over. You going to restore these 17 inches you cutting off? You not.
No.
So you go into a show being like, yeah, they finna cut off all my hair. I had a situation like that. My first off-Broadway show, I won't name it, praise God. I'm sure you can Google it and figure it out, but it don't matter. They wanted me to cut off my hair, not because of a role. The role I was playing was fine. I covered another role. And the director said he hired too many women with the same silhouette.
What?
And what he meant was he had hired too many light-skinned, curly-haired black girls.
Mm.
And he didn't want me to have curly hair. He wanted my hair to be short. And I was like, so you're admitting it's not for the role. It's because you got too many black women with curly. That's not a reason for me to cut off my whole head.
No.
And then the hairstyle that they wanted, I said, I don't have a curl pattern. They wanted the loose, curly, teeny-weeny afro.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, my hair doesn't do that. And I had a white man in hair look at me and said, well, I've been doing hair for 20 years. And I said, I've been black for 20 years.
Talk about
my
it.
My hair will
Talk
not do
it.
What you want it to do. And I went to 125th and got some braids. And that
got
was
it.
That.
That
yes.
was that. That
so
was that.
I for understand as a black man, as a black woman in theater, you hair will be an obstacle in every single show.
Mm.
I have been in every kind of show, off Broadway, Broadway, national tour, and in every show it is a problem. I have had wig people put my wig on me, back away, and say, oh, I know you'll fix it, because
Ooh.
They are not educated in black hair. I have had them ask me for help. I've had them want to barter with me. Can you teach me how to do this kind of hair? Because no one teaches us about curl patterns in hair school. I have run the gamut when it comes to hair. So, sir, I mean, I honestly don't know what to tell you, because I will not tell you what to do with your own personal crown.
Yeah, and that's I'm the one that literally says, fuck the bullshit.
At the end of
the day, fuck the bullshit, because what I don't want you to do
mm-hmm.
is let whiteness change you.
Yes.
Do not let whiteness change you at all.
Yes.
And if that means for you cutting your hair because of this white institution,
mm-hmm.
then do not allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember someone was talking to me who went to a school, and he was growing his hair really nice, beautiful, amazing fro. And he was saying one of the students, a white student a few years above him, hair was just getting longer and longer and longer. Looked like he should have been in a damn rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers always said to this black student with the fro that was just looking beautiful,
mm-hmm.
like an amazing crown, they kept asking him to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying, but you aren't telling Billy Bob
mm-hmm.
to cut his hair,
so
I will do nothing to my hair.
Yes.
Unless you say something to him, then I'll consider it, but you're not saying anything to me.
Yeah.
So I'll just say, I hear what mm-hmm. you're saying, Amber, mm-hmm. and I definitely do agree, because he needs to make this decision on his own. But what I will say is, do not let whiteness change you under any circumstances whatsoever.
And I want it to be your choice.
Shouldn't.
You know, mm-hmm. I want Steven Spielberg to call you and say, you know what? I want to hire you to play Barack Obama in the Barack Obama epic.
Yeah.
Then you're going to win 17 Oscars. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to say, you know what?
You better speak it over.
I'll cut my hair for Barack.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I want it to be that you make that choice
mm-hmm.
for you, not that you are pressured by some white professor
mm-hmm.
at a university that you're not going
to
be at.
To do some white ass show.
To do wonderful town.
To do some white ass show.
I'm not cutting nothing. What? Bright Star?
Wonderful these nuts.
Get out of here. That's what I have to say about that.
I must say that also, because Drew keep telling us we need to figure out titles. That's a contender as well. Wonderful these nuts. So we got some good choices, y'all. We got some good choices. Google me, bitch, and wonderful these nuts. We got choices. That's all I'm gonna say.
And I just wanted to say to that story mm-hmm. that your hair could be defining what the career that you should be having.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That like by keeping your locks, you could be defining a unique career for yourself helps for you to be identified,
yeah.
for you to have the projects that mean something to you, that are about your culture, that are about who you are,
yes.
instead of you having to fit into a box that has nothing to do with you. So
Absolutely.
I would say that it's also potentially a gift,
mm-hmm.
as much as it is might look like a deterrent, it's also a gift.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we got time for one last question.
We got one more, and then this question is more like an affirmation. So,
oh,
yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I think this would
into
be something
it.
Great to end on.
I like this.
As we go into the new week.
This is, the subject is, while we're waiting for revivals of our classics.
Mm.
And so this is from Curtis Wiley.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, boo. Hey, boo.
So what Curtis has to say, I love the podcast in a major way. It feels like a gift, and I am truly grateful for it.
Thank you, Curtis.
In the last episode, Amber spoke to our collective desire and need to see revivals of classic Black shows for colored girls and the Colored Museum.
Yep.
As she spoke, I immediately began to think about shows that are happening right now off Broadway, where our family and friends are absolutely killing it. I'm not sure if y'all heard, but in case you haven't, Marcus Gartley's The House That Will Not Stand at New York Theater Workshop is incredible, and it is.
Yes.
It is a do-not-miss moment in Black theater. I just have to say real quick, all those Black women on stage, directed by a Black woman, absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, necessary, everything. Curtis continues, some of the best theater NYC has to offer has been happening off Broadway. Sugar in Our Wounds. And the upcoming Fireflies. Fire in Dreamland. Which just closed at the Public. Paradise Blue at Signature. Malema's Tale.
Little Rock about the four girls. That's on that's off Broadway right
now. Broadway.
Malema's Tale at the Public. Transfers at Lucille Lortel. Also, the revival of Carmen Jones at Classic Stage. Quite good. I want to see revivals of our classics as much as anyone. But while we're waiting, there's a lot of incredible shit happening out here.
Speak life.
Again, I fucking love the podcast and y'all.
Thanks.
CW.
Oh, Curtis, thank you for
that. That was awesome.
That is real. That while we are waiting on these things to get greenlit, and while we are waiting, and Lord, we shouldn't be waiting, but sometimes we do have to wait.
Yep.
That we can support theater that is happening off Broadway, that's happening regionally, that is celebrating us, that is written for us and by us. And that's like, honestly, that's a part of it. Because if they see that our dollars are keeping these shows open off Broadway, it will convince them what they should already know is that our coins will transfer to the Broadway.
Yes.
Because that's what it's about.
Yes. It is.
I mean, look at Pose. People are like, oh, we can have a show. Oh, and people will, oh, it's got the most ratings ever. Oh, my God. You'd think it was common knowledge, but apparently it's not. There's still work to be done.
Always.
So, yes, I'm committing myself this week. I am definitely I got my tickets for Carmen.
Come through.
And I'm going to go see how the house will not, that will not stand. That's me challenging myself to support my brothers and sisters. Absolutely.
It's everything. It's beautiful.
That's what we have to do.
Come on now.
Absolutely. This has been a great episode.
We did it.
It's done.
Yes. Thank you, Jonathan. You came through.
Jonathan, thank you.
You came through.
Did you have fun?
I had a great time.
I am so glad you did. We didn't have to ask Chris to bloop or bleep anything we did.
Right. We did.
Kanye, this is our last week without the light-skinned chief.
It is.
The chocolate kings and queens have been living their dreams.
And I got some news.
What news you got?
I'm going to be gone for two
God
weeks.
God damn it.
Like, when can we all be together?
Never.
I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks.
That's fine, Danya. I will hold it down as I always do.
And my shade ass, this is how Drew was hearing it first.
Oh, you was not. He don't want you to hear it.
Shady. Don't worry. I'm going to text him. When you listen to the episode, I'm going to say something.
That is hilarious.
But yeah.
Well, we will miss you.
I'm going to miss y'all.
And I will hold down the throne like I always do.
I know you will.
This has been another episode of Off Book. Mm-hmm. We have hit our marks. Mm. We've gone off book. Mm. We have turned up. We've turned down. We've hit you with hot 16s.
Hey.
We told you about our week, our hot topics.
Hey.
We asked listener letters.
Come on, recap.
We did that.
We did.
The full recap.
Thank you all for joining us. Mm-hmm. Please continue to send us emails.
Yes.
What's that email address, Danya? Is it info at Broadway?
I gotta go back every time. And you know I should already know. Hold on. Let me pull it up real quick. You
I'm going to put $10. Okay. It's info at Broadway. That's what I'm going to say. Let's see how wrong
I am. Well, give me my coin.
Oh,
because
shit.
It's off book.
God damn it.
At BroadwayBlack.com. Now, you know, we both should know this.
We're
Drew and we need them.
Where's
the light skin when you need them?
Please.
Again,
send your
it is
emails.
Off book. Yes. At BroadwayBlack.com.
And we will
Ain't that easy?
It was so easy. Mm-hmm. Next week I'll remember. And I probably won't be here next week. Praise God. Thank you everyone for tuning in. I am Princess Amber Mom.
I'm Danya Love.
I'm Jonathan McCory.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.